for the sense of your presence in this house tonight. Lord, for the history of your awesomeness, thank you. How good you have been to us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for these that have come, Lord, who love you and want to learn of you. So I pray, Lord, for a spirit anointing tonight on me and on them, on me as a teacher, on them as students, that we can learn together of you and leave here different and much closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody. We're going to look at discipleship tonight. And I learned something today. I don't know. You could call me a slow learner, and I can't say much against that. But I love, you know, when I learn something about the Lord or about His way. And today I learned, if you believe in discipleship, you never really worry about evangelism. Because you can't disciple unless someone gives their heart to the Lord. And the key to true evangelization is discipling, because Jesus never just wanted to win numbers so that people could, by the skin of their teeth, get into heaven. Oh, where have I heard that before? I think our pastor has taught that most years of her life. It's not that we're a congregation that's way above the norm because we're so special. It's the Bible. And unfortunately, we have a lot that parades in our day as Christianity, which doesn't deal with the key issue of discipleship. When Jesus came, and we'll look at scriptures tonight, he came to radically transform lives and transform people, and he did that through the process of discipleship. And so we call them his disciples, but it wasn't just the 12. If you read the word, and I noticed this today in a way I hadn't, it said like on the Sermon on the Mount, his disciples gathered. He wasn't just talking, we think the 12. It's talking about a whole group of people. Think about, help me, Joseph of Arimathea, who came and claimed his body. He was a disciple. He just was wavering a bit until Jesus passed, and then that kind of galvanized his faith. So, first thing we want to look at is, what are we talking about when we talk discipleship? Let's make sure we're on the same page. And it's one who actively imitates the teaching and the life of a master. So there are disciples that are disciples, but they're disciples of Kung Fu, Buddha. Why? Because they're going to imitate his teachings and his life. So immediately we're set apart, because if just as students, let's say we weren't necessarily clued in spiritually, and we just wanted to follow Jesus, I guarantee you, and there are the testimony of those who followed him because they liked his life and his teachings, and then they learned that they got transformed because how he lived was transformational. The Greek word, Matthias. No great Shakespeare, it just means to be a learner, a student. Now, we've long ago let the Bible college go, though we don't know what's ahead, because we've had prophetic words come about that we will continue to train and disciple again. But Lord, help us if the day comes when we, as this church body, stop learning and stop living. Because in the kingdom, if you stop learning, you stop living. If you stop living it, you stop learning. And either way, it leads to death. Jesus is about what we are and who we are today. That's a discipleship perspective. Let's look at the word. Matthew 11:28, not normally given as a scripture for discipleship, but we'll look at it and see why I think it works. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and notice what I've emphasized, and learn of me. So the first thing I want to point out to you about discipleship, it's personal. If it's religious, it's not discipleship. It's religion. Religions can survive, but it doesn't mean that they do that much good. If we're going to be disciples, it's going to be personal. And it can't be about religion. It can't be about that I've done all the steps. It's about, what do you want from me today, Lord? What is there about me today that could change, that would please you and make me look and be more like you? Oh, what is it about your word that I read today that I see that I'm totally failing at, that you're going to give me faith to believe that I can walk in a prayerful life, in a fasted life? And notice, when you're learning of the Lord, now, I've been blessed to be involved and receive a master's degree in counseling, I've got a business degree from the University of Illinois. I've got a master's of human development counseling from Bradley University. I can feel puffed up about that and then realize that in the kingdom, it doesn't matter if your degree came from Shekinah Bible Institute. I have one of those as well. Ooh, man, I am like paper heavy here. But the bottom line is, it takes an attitude to be a disciple. And the attitude is, I am meek and lowly in heart. The knowledge and the revelation that Jesus gives, if it makes you proud, you haven't finished the textbook. If you go out the door thinking, woohoo, I got a degree for my body, my soul, and my spirit. But none of that recommends you in the kingdom. If we're going to learn of him, the first thing we have to do is get down to a low place. Learn of me. Not learn about me. Know who he is. Know who he is. And then this is another thing that helps the rest of us discern how well we're learning to be disciples. There's rest. I find that when my flesh is trying to stand up and take over, there's no rest in the place. And everybody else feels that same way too. But notice, and Jane pointed this out to me, he's sent out an invitation to those who are weary, to those who have worked hard, maybe aren't happy with all the results they've gotten back, And the Lord didn't say, come to my vacation spa and I will give you rest. He said, yoke up here. And I love this because this is our destiny and this is where I believe we're heading in a fresh way as a church. We're going to yoke up again with the Lord. We're going to see people discipled, which means when you disciple, you have to first evangelize. We're going to win people to the Lord. We're going to teach them how to walk, and we're going to experience how to walk afresh and anew, because the only way to disciple is not from an old textbook or an old manual or going back 25 years to the good old way. It's about learning daily of Him. Learn of me. And then you'll know if that learning separates you from others because, oh my gosh, who can stand to be around Jimmy Lambert? Well, that's not the Lord's learning. I'll give you an example. When David Schott came here, for those who might not know David, he was a prophet extraordinaire. He was a pastor. He was part of the praise and worship movement. He had a lot of history in the church. But the thing that, to me, set him apart from every minister that's been here is when he came, and I was fortunate, you know, to get to eat with him, and it was like you were the special person, and he was just glad to be in your presence. He had learned of Jesus. That's what I want to convey. When we disciple, it may be that we work hard. Maybe we've cast out demons. But in the end, there's rest, both for the minister and the one being ministered to. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I can say to you today, if you come tonight frustrated like, oh my God. Or if you think, are we ever going to move from this place? Or if you think, well, we're only 6 years behind. Come on, let's all yoke together here. Because I'm looking to be yoked differently than I've been. Now, I want to read this scripture to you. The passion is just immediate because when you leave, this is what I want you to feel like. Let's read the Passion Version. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. You know, the greatest detriment to Christianity is Christians who have gotten away from the oasis and the refreshing. And let me tell you, in case you think I'm thinking about any of you, I'm thinking about me. Because when I don't come with rejoicing, I haven't been around the oasis. If I come feeling dried up and negative, haven't been drinking of those sweet waters that come from Jesus' heart, I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways. Learn, that's what a disciple is. And actually the root word is the word for disciple, which says learn my ways. But it's more than just learning ways, steps, or principles. It is a personal relationship with the discipler. Why could Jesus change the whole world with 12 men? Because he discipled them. And one failed. One completely failed. It didn't slow down the movement because Jesus learned himself what it was to disciple others. And so if you and I are going to disciple others, here's the good news. You don't have to be a theologian. But you need to have a fresh, constant, daily, momentary, moment by moment relationship with Jesus Christ. The oasis. And if you're not allowing the joy of the Lord to bubble forth as a spring, where I grew up at my home in Tazewell, our water came from a spring. And so we had a concrete basin that separated it. And then because it flowed out all the time, it would flow out over the basin into dirt. And that's what the cattle drank their water. And then our water was in that basin. Cool, always cool, refreshing. I loved to go down there. We had a spring house. The cattle loved to be around there because it was cool in the hot summer. They'd go there and they'd tromp around. But fresh water, cold. That's what Jesus is to us every day. So we've been in the work 43 years, 44 years. We'll be okay as long as we come to the oasis every day. And if we don't, we'll shrivel up and die. So, when I talk about discipleship, the first thing I want to underscore and make sure that we know is it means a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ. Then what happens? Then when you see someone who doesn't know the Lord, you're convicted because you want them to know the oasis that you're drinking from. In fact, they'll begin to ask you, Julie, what is there different about you? Or Pam, what is there that you can handle difficulties and still have joy? Or Marilyn, what is it, the wisdom that you have? The oasis will make a way for us to evangelize. And then as we win people to the Lord with cool drinks about his person, they'll want to learn of him and be like him. That's discipleship. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle. You know, as I read this, as I was studying this morning, I'm thinking, I'm none of these things. Naturally, I'm none of these things. I am not gentle. I am not humble. I'm not easy to please. God help me. Thank you all for not saying amen to that. I can handle the laughing. Amen might be just more than I could bear tonight. But when the Lord takes over, you can be strong and gentle. Humble means knowing who you are. I'll give you an example that's cutting edge. As we go forward, as we were meeting with Olin about the transition we're in, Olin looked at me at one point and said, there really can't be co-pastors. I've never seen that work. And then it hit me. He was talking specifically to me. And I said, well, that's not a difficult thing because Jane will be the lead pastor. I have no issues with that, and that's not an issue. And we passed right on to other things that we were discussing. Now, a part of that is about calling, anointing. A part of that is history that Jane herself has walked in. But the reality is, sure, we're a team. But in the end, th- this is something the Lord called her to. This is where the buck stops. And we've walked that way, and we've walked together as husband and wife for 35 years. Yeah, way to go, God. As I said, I'm neither gentle, humble, or easy to please. You need to pray for your pastor. But that's the reality of where we are. I don't have an issue with that. I hope you don't. But if you do, the Lord will deal with you, and you'll get to the oasis eventually. All right, let's look at the scripture that's often used in discipleship situations. Matthew 28. Let's check my time here. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's interesting to me that when Jesus talks about his victory over hell and death, and that's where he got authority. He lived it. The only way we get authority. All authority had been given to him because of his spotless life. And so with that authority, what he commanded us to do was not do miracles. Unless you call making a disciple a miracle, and I do. Go and make disciples. As we make disciples, the miraculous is a part of it. But we know that we can't do miraculous on our own. So what Jesus asks us to do is not make miracles. We couldn't do it. We make disciples through obedience. And that we can choose to do. The good news about obedience, because I've failed at obedience so many times, I could write my own book, The Manual of Disobedience. But that wouldn't help anybody or transform anybody. Andrew Murray wrote the book, The Blessing of Obedience, something to that degree. But here's the good thing about obedience and disobedience. You can be failing every day of your life, and the one time you say yes, you're now obedient. And in the place of blessing. Don't glorify your disobedience by thinking it can't be overcome. I'm looking at all the testimonies of how it has been overcome. Plus, knowing some of my own. Make disciples. And just so you know, it doesn't matter what nation. The gospel translates in every language and every culture. But we first start where we live. So that'll be Blountville, Tennessee, and Kingsport, Tennessee. So obedience, it's got to get personal. And who do we obey? Me being Jesus. So when I'm talking about discipleship, I'm not giving you a plan tonight. I'm going to give you some steps to what I think are reality of discipleship. But when I'm talking about discipleship, I'm saying to you, as a church, I believe this is what the Lord is saying to us, we've got to take this up another notch and get personal with him. What an oasis that will be. Obey me. And then he said, and this should encourage us, and surely I am with you always. Now, I can tell you, it's kind of like the student who's not the sharpest, it's not the sharpest tool in the box. When I'm around a great teacher, and I've had some great teachers, I'm thankful for that. They make you feel like you can do anything. Because somehow their brilliance is committed to you. I think of Dr. Hart at Western Illinois University at a time in my life where my absolute confidence was crushed. And I thought I was a curse. That man made me feel like I could do anything. I hated his test. His test, I'm the only one that chose this. I don't know if I was stupid or what, but it worked. You could take his test just as it was, or if you chose to do an essay, you could choose the question. He had to approve the question for the test. And then that would be your test rather than the one he devised. I always chose to write my own test because, you know, that kind of helps you, you know, hopefully get the right answer if you're writing the question. And he would make sure it's a good question. And I can tell you, in my tests, I used all the time because an essay question, I thought that was the simple way to go about it. But what he taught me was doing it that way, I learned the material. And I got a good grade. We both were happy. The test has been written. Our teacher is setting it up so that there's no way we can't help but knock it out of the park. Because he's going to let us write the questions. He'll give us the answers. And then we'll walk out of there thinking, whoo, I'm some sharp dude. When all the time, he tricked us into the right answers. Learn of me, he says. I had another professor. He was in my master's study. He was a Tennessee fan. That set him apart because he's the only one I ever knew that liked Tennessee up north. But he'd been born in Tennessee. Unfortunately, he was finishing the end of his career, and I'm sure he'd been a great teacher. But really, he was just trying to finish and get his retirement. I didn't read the textbook. It was a huge one. I can't even tell you what I learned, because I don't think I learned much, because I heard this fact that he took his test from the, there was a workbook that went with it, and at the end of each chapter, it had questions. And one of the students had been through this course told me, I'm telling you, if you study the questions at the end of each chapter, his exams are directly from it. Now, let me tell you what I learned in that class. Nothing. Yeah, I learned to study. Yeah. I learned how to circumvent the questions were directly taken. So I missed in that class, which I didn't miss in my other classes. I didn't learn much because there's a way that you can give the answers that contributes to ignorance. But when I'm talking about discipleship, the way that Jesus sets the questions up means we're going to learn of him. It's going to both be personal and effective, and the lessons that you learn from the Lord, they have a way of staying with you. Because unfortunately, I can't even tell you, I'd have to think about it and look at my transcripts to even tell you the course that he taught me. But Dr. Hart, he taught me history. I didn't even need history except that they made me take it in Illinois because I was fortunate to pass a college-level entrance program test and get out of my first year. But I learned so much about history and about how he taught, that it stayed with me. That's the discipleship that Jesus gives to us. It's personal. It's about obeying Him. And sometimes obeying Him, how shall I say it? It's not more than the Word, because He is the Word. But sometimes He demands of you more than right and wrong. He demands of you to be yoked with Him. And you go beyond right and wrong into what is best for the kingdom. There's a way of living, and it is about right and wrong. I'm not trying to belittle that. But I'm saying that when you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who is teaching you about Jesus, because that's His ministry. It's not about, did I fast 4 times this month, once a week? It's about, did I set people free? That type of learning. So, how do we make disciples? Let's look at this real quick. First of all, to be a disciple, and so you have to be a disciple to disciple, you have to take responsibility. And the best way I can say is, you have to take responsibility for yourself. Now, I love to take responsibility for myself when I have a prophetic word over Terry, and it's the word he needed to hear, and it sets him free, and bam, I love that. And that's good. We want those things. But sometimes I have to take responsibility for how I acted and go to Grace and say, Grace, I'm sorry that I was short with you and that I was angry with you. Or, oh, I'm sorry, Jan, that I couldn't take time with you because I needed to get my songs in order. Now, there's a balance in there, but here's what I'm saying. When we take responsibility for ourselves, then we don't have any excuses to rely on anymore. Then I can't say to Terry, well, I was sharp because Mike was pushing me, or I was sharp because my sister was mean to me one more time again. Yeah, exactly. No, I have to say, Terry, I was short because I happen to be a smart alecky, angry person apart from the Lord. Or, Jan, I couldn't take time with you because I didn't consider that important enough to care. What happened in the revival was we took responsibility for ourselves. And when you do, you'll find yourself to be a repentant person, because no one walks through unscathed. We all have our issues. Blame is the opposite of responsibility. You can blame your mother. I have. You can blame your father. I have. Your sister. Oh, I didn't mean to go there. But unfortunately, if you put the blame on somebody else, you can't get free. Blame is the essential. Let's tie me up and throw me in the water. Yeah. Every time you blame others, invent justifications, or craft a fresh excuse, you evade the responsibility. And then, as I love, this author's book title says, this is what will happen. You won't see it coming. You've been blindsided? Then you need to ask the Lord, show me where I'm blind about myself. So, what do we have to do? We have to embrace change. Why? Because if we don't change, we'll die like we are. Change is what sets us free. Change is what makes me know I'm not going to be hateful all my life, because the Lord loves me too much. And He's done a great work, but without saying a lot of amens, please. There's a lot of work to go. All right. I got to take responsibility for that. I can't say my father was sharp and short. He was. So what? Jesus' earthly father wasn't perfect either. But he didn't allow that to be an excuse. Let's make sure that in this church we take away all excuses for not being like him. Secondly, our talk and our walk have to match. Congruence. The true equality that's needed. Equality of walk and words matching. A gifted, I know how to say it in a not a godly way. I'm trying to think of how to say this godly. I am a gifted dealer in dung. A gifted dealer in dung. And what I mean by that is, I can take something that's smelly and talk as if it's something aromatic. Now, in the world, we would say, he's full of it. What I'm saying is, take away all the pretense. And so I have to be able to respond to you, to the Holy Spirit in you, if you come and say, Jimmy, what you did there hurt my feelings. Because I've unfortunately hurt people's feelings. It's not about how you construe something. It's about what the Spirit says. Sometimes you can say things the right way as far as the words go, but not have the right spirit, and it's still sin. I wish I only knew that through learning and books, but unfortunately I know that by living. My walk and talk have to match. So for me, that means I got to pray. Why? Because I exhort you to pray. I got to fast. Why? Because I sometimes lead you in the times of fasting. It means stop the faking. You know, the thing about art is a painting can look like it's a Da Vinci, but until it's ruled authentic, it's a fake. What Jesus is wanting is the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives so that when I do something, it's authentic. So I'm not just trying to move Judy by getting something I want, but I'm authentically caring for her or concerned about her or Tommy because I love them and not just to get something from them. That's when your walk and your talk match. Now, I'm thankful for this congregation because I don't think we're giving to faking. But as we go forward, we got to always seek to be genuine. Because the day that I just butter up Karen, because I want her to think well of me, I won't be a good disciple or a disciple maker. Because discipling, I could teach you, I have pulled off the internet several things that we could do to make disciples. I don't think that's what the Lord is looking for us for. I think he's looking for a relationship with each of us and us corporately so that we make disciples. And that's learn of him. Who is more authentic than Jesus? To one he said, go and sell all you got. Took care of that guy because his walk and talk couldn't match. Another said, I got to sell some cattle. Jesus said, important. Just not more important than, I've got to obey you, Lord. The Holy Spirit continually works to bring us into agreement. Because before I can agree with you, I've got to have some agreement with me. And that's by saying yes to the Holy Spirit. That's by responding to him when he says, well, you didn't do anything wrong, but you were insensitive to Tony. Go make it right with him anyway. Because if the Holy Spirit says to you, you were insensitive, then it needs to be made right. I'm learning this. I'm just slow on the trigger, so to speak. All right. Of all the lies we tell, the lies that we tell ourselves, those are the deadliest. Don't ever forget it. That's why, let me say this, that's why you need good friends. Because you can lie to yourself, and sometimes you'll believe it. That's why you need a friend to say, Jimmy, that's the craziest thing I heard. Get that out of your mind before it ruins you. Elaine is good at this. She has a nice way of telling you, you're nuts. Now, she's kind with me, don't get me wrong. But she has a way of saying it. Like I would just say, you're freaking crazy. And that doesn't always go over well with others. I've learned that. But Elaine will say, well, what about this? Don't you think this might work? Or, Jimmy, I'm not too sure I can agree with that, but here's what I think. We need each other. Because the way that you stay out of error is not that you're so intellectually outstanding because you won't out-argue the devil. It will be about that you humble yourself to receive of the Lord and the people he sends to you to help you walk it out. One of the best things you can do to overcome your hypocrisy is humble your talk, accelerate your walk. Isn't that a good statement? Humble your talk, accelerate your walk. All right, let's close. Personal growth. We had a class in the Bible college. We had a great Bible college. Yes, I'm definitely skewed. I was a teacher and also a student in it. I got my wife out of Bible college. I got all my great theological training out of Bible college. I loved SBI. We had a class called Practical Christianity. It was taught by the most practical people we had on the face of the earth, Earl King and David Toll. They were merciless. They were merciless. We were required to pray every day. Can I get this? Pray every day. Fast once a week. Remember these days, Julie? Fast once a week. Go out and evangelize 1 hour every other week. Then then they came up with, we also need to mend the nets within the congregation. So then we had to connect with people 1 hour every other week. So that was like 4 weeks of 1 hour's worth of ministry to other people than ourselves. These guys were nuts. Oh, we had to read the word every day. Then we had to write a journal a day. It didn't have to totally be daily, but out of 31 days, it needed to be 29 anyway. And I tried by doing one whole week, a weekly journal one time. It didn't fool them at all. They just merciless. Then we had to, I said fast once a week, connect with them. So we're doing all this stuff. Like, how could you study in Bible college when you had to be a practical Christian? It didn't go together. And I tried to explain that to them, but unfortunately, they're pretty sharp dudes. They didn't let me squeeze out, any of us squeeze out. And so this is what we had to do. Daily, number one, pray. Now, I want to say some things, and this is cornbread teaching. I wish I had better revelation. Thank God for Pastor Jane. That's more her field. I'm more of the like ox in the ditch type of teaching. So, ox in the ditch number one, if you don't pray as a kingdom member and as a disciple, you're dead in the water. It doesn't matter what else you do. Doesn't matter that you can sing. Doesn't matter that you can prophesy. Doesn't matter that you can teach. It doesn't matter, period, if you don't seek God. The kingdom is His kingdom that He wants to teach you about His ways and His love for others. It starts by connecting with Him, and that's prayer. Secondly, you study the Word. Now, there's a lot of ways to do this. Now, you can go online, and or you can pull up on your phone an app and read the Word from it. You can read the Bible. And an actual Bible, that's what we used to do. You see very little of that now. I don't care whether it's the physical Bible or not, but if the Word itself is not in your heart, you're set up for failure. Because that's how we live. And then again, the Word is a person. It's first and foremost a person. So that when I'm going to the Word, I'm not just trying to get my 17 verses in that guarantees that I'm saved for that day, because I've got 17 verses and 500 words that are out of the Bible that'll help me hopefully limit my words, my 10 words of cursing. Now, what is it? That's legalism. And I'm very good at it, by the way. So, I study the Word to meet Him, to learn of Him, so that I can disciple myself and others. That's daily. That's the least. But if you try to go about this without the Holy Spirit, I'm not worried. All legalism fails. Often, read articles and books. If you're interested in something, you search it out. So I guess I'm asking, what's your hunger level now? 43 years into the work, what's your hunger level? Are you an expert now? If you're not reading the Word and praying daily, you're saying you are. That you don't need that. And the Lord's saying to me, get back into the Word. Get back into me. Seek my face. Am I going to be at a prayer meeting and pray? Yes, I am. I've already gone through that. That's not even a price anymore. I know if I continually miss Tuesday morning prayer meetings, I'm going to have to deal with Judy Weatherford because she's going to be looking for me. I got that covered. I ain't going to do it. She'd do it in a good way, though. But that's covered. But if it's not an outflow of my personal crying out to God, wood, hay, and stubble. It is amazing grace. My sister, I should have known. But Elaine, we wanted that at another time to confirm how amazing the teaching was. Oh, I tell you. I'm glad it was you. You'll pay for it later. Oh, yes, I can get your... Here, let me do that for you, my sweet. Sweet sister. All right, so read articles, books. I didn't put it in here, but at this place you could put in. Check out other people. Like Mike and Fran, they're always going to something. So you say, well, I'm not good at that. Then tag with them. They're inviting people all the time. In fact, Jane and I need to go with them at some point in the near future just so they don't get offended with us because we haven't made it with them yet. But I'm just saying, when you're hungry, I'll give you an example. If I go by Jan's house and smell something good, I'll find a way to knock on her door. And then in case she's not sure about how that dessert looks or tastes, I'm willing to be that guinea pig. Because everything I've had from her cooking hand has been scrumptious. So it's not like there's a lot of faith involved either. Here's what I'm saying is, how you live displays how you walk. And what are you hungry for? Something that we didn't used to put a lot of stock into, but I think it's very important. How do you play and rest? People need to play. That's just the flat out truth. How do you play? How do you rest? If you can't rest, you have a God complex. Sorry to reveal that to you, but that's just the reality. So a person who can't rest thinks that everything holds together by their hand. It's a lie. Can't play? Now, I will say one thing that the Lord has used me in my sweet wife's life is I helped teach her how to play because she was intense. First time I saw Jane, I got to tell you all this. Now, at the time, we both had different spouses, so that made sure there was no negatives. But she was like intense. And I thought to myself, I don't want anything to do with that lady. And I stayed way away from her. Because she was like prophesying over somebody, and it was scary. But I helped teach her how to play. Fasting. We do believe in fasting. Five is play. Fasting is six. Yes, ma'am. Six, you know, in the scriptures, the number of man, how fasting and man go together. Now, I know that there are physical reasons not to fast, but there are all kinds of fasts. So don't let that be a cop-out. When we come into January and we do our week of prayer and fasting, it's the most awesome, powerful time in the church. But for what we're going to do, because we're not going to be at this place again. We're going to grow. We're going to build, and we're going to build the nations because that's our calling. That's our vision. We're going to step up in a way that maybe we haven't in a few days. That's okay for whatever reason. But where we're headed, we'll have to fast because it's the only way to overcome the enemy. And the first enemy you deal with is not the devil. It's you, me. We've got to connect with other people. You say, well, Jimmy, is there anybody in the church that maybe you'd like to see feel a leading to go somewhere else? Absolutely not. We need everybody. what I hope the church doesn't pray is that y'all don't feel you need me anymore, you know. So right now, that seems to be okay. We got to connect. The only way we'll grow is if people know that we genuinely love them. And usually that means there's got to be at least one relationship in the church that ties you there. Now, we're not having relationships just so we can build a church, because, again, that's where walk and talk don't match. Jesus never tried to build a church. He just was himself. That's what I want from you and me. Let's be ourselves. Because for the most part, that's good. And the parts that aren't good, we know the Lord's going to deal with us. And then finally, we make disciples. So see, we're not going to worry. What's our evangelism policy? It's to make disciples. Because when you make disciples, you win people. So here's what I'm saying to the Lord. What can I do to build Pauletta? Because that'll be discipling. Doesn't mean she has to have me in her apartment every day. That take away that fright from her. But it means, though, that we have an openness so I can say to her, you blessed me tonight as you were worshiping and loving God. And it helps set a tone for this class. Thank you. I love it that I can go to Will and Marilyn for practical needs. See, I've known them forever, a long time. I've known them, I've known their children, I've known their grandchildren. And the thing is, somebody new in the church, I might fool and thinking I'm wonderful, they know me. And still love me. And we've walked through some tough times. Both when they've stood with Jane and me, when we've stood with them. When we prayed over their children. That's what we're going to do going forward. We're going to build our resume of love. Build our connection to each other. Judy, I didn't know what worship was. She's mentored me for years. The ministry that I have in worship, she helped bring it to pass. And in it was a caring for me. So it wasn't about that she could have, oh, I'm Judy Weatherford. I've got 200 disciples. How many do you have? It wasn't that type of thing. It wasn't worth that. She'll tell you that. Because she's dealt with me when I've been sideways. She knows what that looks like, unfortunately. But I want her input. I need her input. Both personally as a man of God, and then definitely from her experience as a worship leader. And what I know about Judy is she was a worship leader because she's a worshiper. And she taught me. Doesn't matter, Jimmy, how good your voice is. What are you living? So I am part of her discipleship caravan. I'm a part of Sue Kern's discipleship caravan. There's many things we do differently. But she's the one who taught me to value the word and taught me how to pray daily. I love the church I grew up in. There were good things about it. There were many things that weren't good. They didn't teach me anything much about the Lord. That's just how it was. The word wasn't anointed. And when I set foot on this property when I was 16 to visit Elaine, because she came to the school of discipleship, my life forever changed. Because people here were willing to disciple me. And they paid a hell of a price to do it. So, but in the end, the wine is good. And the new wine, which is the wine he offers us every day in personal relationship, is the best. So I want to encourage you. Let's make our walk and talk match. Take responsibility for yourself. When you can, find that low place and choose to jump there. Now, sometimes we have the choice. Of course, the reality is the only choice we really have is to say yes to whatever the Spirit is saying. But you choose to be there. Choose to learn of Him. This is personal. It's personal to you. It's personal to me. Because what we're headed for, it's awesome. You say, what is it? I don't know. I just know God doesn't do anything that's not awesome. And we're going to, when we were young, many of us came here when we were young. Oh my gosh, we relied a lot on our own strength, didn't we? Well, you know what? That's not such temptation today because I'm having trouble finding some of that strength. I like to get up days when my back's not creaking and sounding off and I've had a good night's sleep. Used to be when I was young, I didn't even know what a bad night's sleep was. That's not the case anymore. But you know what? Paul said, me too. Paul said, when he prayed against his weakness, the Lord said, I'm not healing that. He said, I'm going to be your strength. And going forward is, what glory to God when they say, well, Jan Smith can't do that on her own. That had to be the Lord. Who healed Jim Dow? Couldn't be Kathy. That had to be the Lord. Who inspired Tony? Let's learn of him. I have heard the Lord say to me today, would you be willing to humble yourself again and learn of me? It's not just about him. It's learning from him and being with him. So, Father, we just say yes. Yes, help us. And, Lord, there are always times when we tend to be a little bit rebellious, but you know how to break us down. So we invite you to do so. But we say we want to go forward. And these days of our lives, for many of us, we're older, we want them to be the best. And about everything that we do and live and be and the ministries that we're involved in, we want to bring honor to you. We want to see this vision prosper and this church grow. And so we say yes to learning of you and being who you want us to be. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this tonight, Lord. Thank you for these folks. Bless them, quicken them as they go home to be with their families. And thank you, Lord. We say yes to making disciples of all nations. Say it with me. Yes and amen. Amen. Be blessed.